brothers.
Oh, yeah.
It's me, Austin.
Awesome.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I lie.
Oh, you didn't know?
And I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
See, I just didn't stand.
You just made the list.
Bam.
Welcome into WWEG on Legal 91.1 FM. I am your host, Logan Hurston, and I'm, of course, joined by my co-host in the interim WWEGL heavyweight champion of the world, Mr. Gimmick Killer, Cooper Prater.
Welcome to the real Graps episode, ladies and gentlemen. No extraneous gimmick personalities around here.
No giants.
No.
No naturals.
Absolutely not.
Just a guy with no gimmick. In the Gimmick Killer.
There you go.
I'm the host of the show, and I've never had a gimmick.
That's for the best, frankly.
I think that's for the best. Yeah. It's been a fun week. We've got an absolute dream match.
A phenomenal dream match, indeed.
Tony got to complete the three-peat in the debuts, bagging Mercedes.
Which was, the worst-kept secret since Christopher Montgomery Punk.
Especially because she had been signed for months, and then as soon as she debuted, they did the picture-in-picture, and it aired the promo with her in it.
I know. They had that, like, locked and ready to go.
That was awesome. But, I mean, I guess it makes sense to do it back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah. You had that interview with Renee, too.
Like, yeah, true.
Not
yeah,
even
like
24 hours.
Instantly. Yeah. And she was at the Celtics game the next day with, like, the AEW graphic coming in.
Yeah.
At Big Business, we also, Jay White did a service for the rest of the world, making sure Darby was not going to get to Everest this year.
I've never seen, the universe act through a man as as clearly as I saw that.
2 minutes into the match, just doesn't routine, like, dive off the top and just, or it was like a senton dive and just breaks his foot, which is crazy that he went and had a great match after that. And, I mean, like, look. I think he can do Everest. I'm worried about it, of course, because why would you not be worried? 18 people die on like Everest every single year.
Right.
But I think he can do it, just not when he has a bunch of scars from glass being in his back.
I don't know, man. He's never climbed a mountain before, I don't think.
I think
that's going to be his first one, right?
Maybe he should start like, I don't know, man. Go to Kilimanjaro first.
Yeah. Climb other mountains. Climb safer mountains.
Climb the Smokies, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Oh, Mount Chiha, it'll be great.
I just don't think Darby can die.
I mean, I would like to hope so. His wrestling career has had a pretty good track record so far.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's a whole other environment, I think. Deathmatch stuff.
It is ironic that like this whole time there was the whole debate on the real glass. People were like, well, Darby hasn't gotten injured at all in his whole career, and then right after.
I know, yeah. On the gnarliest looking spot he's ever taken. Completely fine, you know, back up and running. He's got a little tape on him, whatever. In the standard wrestling match is where it
routine
all goes wrong.
Spot he always does, yep. Just destroys his foot. Yep. But speaking of Bullet Club Gold, the Bang Bang Gang, they have broken up and attacked the Acclaimed. Finally, we are free.
Thank you. Whoever is up there, thank you so much. my prayers have been answered.
Finally. I mean, look, I'll be interested. I mean, look, hopefully Bullet Club Gold can get the tag, all the three Trios belts, unify them.
They better. I mean, otherwise, what are we doing here? Because, look, I understand people's frustrations with the Acclaimed right now.
Yes.
I think they are good.
I do, too.
I think they are a good act still. Even them turning the, like, you know, Max getting flustered in the rap thing, turning that into, like, an angle, mm-hmm. I think was a good idea. Bowens is just has all the charisma in the world.
Oozes.
Yeah.
Charisma.
And of course, Billy is, you know, just
Billy Gunn
adds to the whole presentation. That being said, though, this connection with Bullet Club Gold has not played to the strengths of either group. Mm-hmm. You know, it made Bullet Club Gold look like you know, kind of like they've always been silly, but you know,
not to this degree.
Yeah. They're at a different type of silly than the Acclaimed are.
Well, they're silly, but they're smarmy silly. Where the Acclaimed's like, you know, baby face.
Yeah.
Silly, making the jokes about, you know.
The Bullet Club Gold, they're silly in the way that, like, henchmen from, like, an 80s action movie are. You know, like, yeah, they make funny faces and all that. But, like, they'll still, like, probably cut you, you know?
Yeah, right.
Whereas, yeah, the Acclaimed are very kind of more, I don't want to say family-friendly because they're not. but, you know, more palatable.
And also, like, they were, like, Bullet Club switched to babyface, which is like, I'm sorry, brother. I don't want to see a JY babyface run.
It's not
ever.
His preferred way of doing it, I think.
And the guns will never. I don't know. I think at some point maybe, but like, they're so
sometime
good.
Sometime down the line.
Yeah. I can see Austin.
Austin for sure. And I'll say the best part of that stuff that they were doing together was Austin interactions with Billy again.
Yes.
You know, since turning on him. And, you know, you see these little glimpses of moments where he's genuinely, like, happy to be around his dad again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they never really, that was never, like, a focus of that story. I don't really know what the focus of that story was.
You know what it was?
It was supposed to, I know it was supposed to be the Undisputed Kingdom.
Yep, and they just never did it.
Just got away from them.
That's the problem is, like, they set that up because, like, oh, let's join forces because they have more numbers than us, and now we have more numbers. But the problem with that is if Juice wasn't injured, this would be perfect because Adam Cole can't wrestle.
Right.
So it would have been a 4-4. And when you add 6-4, it makes no sense for them to wrestle Undisputed Kingdom and lose. And, like, Undisputed Kingdom didn't need to be beat.
Right.
So it's, like, that's, I feel like, why they never ran that. And it just, I feel like this would have lasted longer, but the fans were just against it and expecting a turn. Because I feel like if Adam Cole was healthy, they probably would have added just some random member of Undisputed Kingdom or something like that and done a match.
Right.
But, you know, we don't live in a perfect world. Remember, all this Adam Cole and MJF are supposed to be feuding right now, guys.
I know.
And both of them are injured.
the monkey's paw has curled for sure.
Yep.
In terms of, you know, getting Adam Cole back on TV. But, you know, I think credit to AEW, though, for and this is something that they've done fairly consistently throughout their existence as a company, which is they will sometimes have an idea that is maybe, you know, good on paper, sometimes not even good on paper.
Codyverse.
And then they will, you know, hear the reactions to it. Maybe let it play out for like another like week or two.
See if they can. Yeah.
Yeah. And when it becomes clear that, okay, this is not something that people are interested in, they'll either pull back from it or just dissolve it completely. Yeah, this was the case with like the Dark Order stuff at first. In that case, they just, you know, added Brody Lee and changed the direction of,
and everything
of
was
how they were
right in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Back in those halcyon days of 2020. Oh, wait, no. then, you know, you had like the Nightmare Collective stuff.
Yep.
Which was never really a good idea to
just
begin
became
with.
Became the Factory, the team of jobbers.
The Factory, Christ, you know, QT, QTV, pretty much any QT project.
Well, QT lasted a little longer than it should have.
Yeah.
It would take that man getting fired.
I know.
But hey, he's back with the company.
Yeah.
Hey, at least he's learned a spot.
Yeah.
He can be the king of the indies and then get the solid paying job in AEW. And hey, man, you want to wrestle on the indies? I got no problem. There's plenty of independent promotions, and you could probably do good stuff there.
It's a you know, valid option for him. He'd probably, you know, have a good solid income from that.
Yep. He realized he was not getting into WWE. Cody was not getting that man in as a performer, and he said, cut my losses.
Yeah, which is great. If he would, you know, recognize, like, okay, people value me more as, like, a coach, I feel like that would have been more, like, realistic in terms of him. Because I could absolutely see him, like, in an NXT role, you know, something like that.
Yep.
Or even, like, as, like, a producer for main roster stuff. But, yeah, being, like, so dead set on, like, no, I want to be on TV.
Especially for, like, a guy that, like, you would think he would be like, all right, I'm fine with any job. Because, I mean, like, think about it. Before AEW, he had nothing. And right. and even when he got brought into AEW, he was brought in almost as like a Rudy-like character where it's like, he can wrestle, oh, yeah, my goodness, yeah. you know. Cody first, oh, my gosh. But let's go ahead and sing the Dynamite. Speaking of undercooked stuff, Undisputed Kingdom's Wardlow versus Joe.
This is a pretty good match.
It was a good match. Yeah. It was just like you knew Wardlow wasn't winning.
Yeah.
And it felt very like I was expecting like maybe like shady finish or something, but he just lost.
No, yeah, clean as a whistle.
Clean as a whistle, just yeah. stinking the coquina and we get out of here.
Yep. This is like
I feel bad for him.
It's very interesting because when the Undisputed Kingdom first got introduced and Adam Cole set up this whole prophecy thing.
Yep.
With the Kingdom as tag champs, Roddy as international, and Wardlow winning the world championship and then handing it to him. pretty much the second that he said that, I feel like it was always an unwinnable position because, you know, and no disrespect to Wardlow, who worked really hard to make himself a convincing challenger.
And I really, look, I'll say this. Some of Best Wardlow's promos.
The Best Wardlow promos.
They came out of this run.
Absolutely.
And I was honestly, I was invested in him again. And as someone who was like, I was like, turn the TV off when I saw Wardlow.
And I'm still invested in him.
I am
even
too.
After this. I don't think that this is like a you know, career killer move.
It's not. It just kind
of depends on how they, I think, play out of it.
I'm just worried that he's going to be, I don't think, especially since they've already done it before, but like, I'm worried that they'll just give up on him to a certain extent. Like they'll have him be that. Like, they're not going to, like, get him buried or anything like that, but I don't think he'll ever be.
They'll do what they did last time. Yeah. They'll, you know,
yeah.
put the TNT title on him. They'll, you know, shove him in some, like, you know, nothing storyline for, like, you know, 3 months.
Because I, like, genuinely, like, his last couple months, other than, like, some of the squash matches were, you know. You know, it's like, I don't need to see squash or squash or squash.
Right.
I saw that already in his first run, so I don't need to see it again as a reintroduction. Yeah. Just let the guy fight. He can squash, like, or, like, have, like, short matches against, you know, good wrestlers. Or, like, not, like, you know, just have your random jobber come in. But, like, I was interested. I was very interested in him again. And you knew he was going to win. He shouldn't win. Swerve should be the next one to get that belt.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
the other thing, the other big thing, obviously, the working against him is the fact that there are so many other more interesting contenders to that belt right now. You know, that storyline was set up at the same time as you have so many of these other characters that people are so much more automatically behind because they've been booked more consistently for longer. You know, Swerve, obviously. Hangman, even if you still want to do that. Osprey. Now.
Osprey.
You know,
I mean, even like someone who doesn't want the belt, like Danielson or someone, you know.
Right, right.
Okada.
Okada, you know, even though that's not the direction they're going. But, you know, there's so many more pieces on the board now than there was even like, you know, 2 months ago that. Yeah, it really put into focus just how much suspension of disbelief you would have in order to think that Wardlow was ever going to come out of this with that belt. So, but like I said, you know, I think that it's not an unwinnable position if they use that moment, which they should to further the story and, you know, say, okay, now that he is the only one in the kingdom to have not fulfilled this prophecy, because Roddy did, you know, the kingdom did, you know, how does that affect his standing with the group, which is already shaky at best.
Yeah, because he was always the odd man out.
Right. You know, how do they treat him? How does he treat them? You know, I think there's interesting stuff to be done with it. So
I am interested to see. Hopefully they keep the storyline going because I really do like Wardlow as a performer. He's not just like a one-trick pony or anything like
that. No, I don't think so.
Very versatile. But with that being said, we're going to go to a quick PSA break, and we come back. We're going to talk more big business. We'll see you after these messages. Welcome back to WWEGL. It's always a mouthful. Why did I pick that for the title?
That's a good question. Yeah, and it's pigeonholed us into a promotion that we're not particularly hyped to talk about at the moment.
It is very funny. We should just change it to AWEGL. Middle of the run.
Yeah.
But keep the same graphic. We don't change the graphic name, but we change the... I mean, look, it is the biggest promotion. And at the time when we started, you were not here.
That's true.
And I had a bunch of casuals with me that all we wanted to talk about was, you know, the custody of Dominic match. And I don't regret my decision.
To be fair, I mean, is kind of also all I want to talk about, too, is the custody of Dominic match.
Off topic, I did have someone at work ask me what would be if they're like, what's your dream WWE match? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, make it a four-way. And I was like, I don't know, give me The Rock, because why not? Because I enjoy watching him do 40-minute promos all day. You know, they say that there would be eventually they just want a whole show of just promos. And I can feel that. Because if you give me The Rock going 20 minutes over his time slot every single week, all right, I understand. Give me Gunther to smack the crap out of The Rock. Give me Kurt Angle, you know, full TNA Kurt Angle, if you catch my drift.
I understand what you're saying.
And then give me Eddie.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a perfect, you know. You have your three wrestlers and you have The Rock in the middle doing a promo. There you go.
That's a wellness violation of a match. That's what
that is. I want Walter, but I don't want Walter now. Or Gunther now. I want
you want progress.
Big Daddy
you
Walter.
Want WXW Walter.
Yes.
Yeah. I get you. But now here's the difference between you and me is that I want dyed platinum blonde hair, green singlet Walter
from way back. And didn't him and Danielson have a match in?
I think so. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right.
The one match that will probably ever come out for those two competitors.
I know.
Peak.
Unironically. Yeah.
Let's get back to big business. Of course, the talk of the town.
Big
Business Jones, brother. Mercedes Moné, All Elite. She cracked that million.
CEO. God, that's crazy how over.
Walter's
that is.
In the mud.
Honestly,
your theme.
That I thought I heard that in the theme, but like I wasn't quite sure, and so I had to restart it. And I was like, "Oh, wow, they're just straight up ripping it." Okay, cool. Like, you know, I don't blame them. It's baller, and he used it for a reason. But yeah, they use the same, you know, classical piece at the start of the Mercedes's theme.
The problem is, I don't know why I always think this, but in my mind, Symphony No. 9 and Flight of the Valkyries are the same thing sometimes.
Not at all.
They're not, right? They're not.
Not even close.
But like, when I'm like, they just give her Brian's theme. This was my, I was, I don't know why.
I can't explain that for you.
I only hear one classical music all sounds the same in my head.
It's like what's that tweet? It's like the guy who's the only movie he's ever seen is The Boss Baby.
This would give me real big boss baby vibes.
Here. Yeah.
I don't know why I think that, because I know Symphony No. 9, but I was like, my first reaction was, and like now I can see it in my head. I'm like, these are two different songs. I can hear the melodies, but when I heard it, I'm like, wait a minute. I was like, this is already a theme. They're just like building off of everybody gets Flight of the Valkyries as a base for the theme. Because I knew I had heard it from, obviously, Walter doesn't use it anymore.
Yeah.
Also,
I didn't realize until just earlier today when I was listening to it again. She's rapping.
Yeah,
on
she's
it.
Rapping. She made her own theme.
That's insane.
No Mikey Ruckus.
That is crazy.
Baller.
Now, granted, also, I loved the music she was using in New Japan and all the indies. That
Moné.
Yeah, the jump sample. And I thought that fit her really, really well. But I will say I'm a fan of this one, if for no other reason than just, man, that CEO chant.
It makes her feel like the final boss.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I saw some takes about this that, like, thought that, you know, the debut segment for her was like underwhelming.
I liked it.
Which I understand where those people are coming from, because it was just a promo.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a fairly, you know, standard, like, hey, I'm here now. These are my general kind of goals for what I'm going to do here. There's a slight hint of a call out with the Willow.
Yeah.
Stuff, acknowledging their history in New Japan. And, you know, so I thought, like, that introductory promo kind of hit all the bases that you needed. Very similar to the first dance.
Yeah, punk, the punk promo. One. Yep.
You know, he said, hey, I'm here now. These are my goals. Called out Darby, you know, and you off to go off to the races at the pay-per-view.
Of course, this was, again, this is different because Funk hasn't been around for 7 years. So, like, anything he does is going to be, you know.
Right, right. But I feel like, you know, giving her that same presentation is very intentional.
Yeah.
You know.
Shows confidence.
Right, right. You know, you can hold off on, you know, boom, big, you know, match first night because you know that she is such an, you know, extraordinary, like, megastar right off the bat that, you know, you can establish a little bit of character dynamic here.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that, you know, the choice to have her book in the show too
was very
after the main event was really effective in getting that across.
Yep.
You know,
also she had to, of course, pay her respects and shake Rio's hand before the main event.
As she should. you know, our one true
our Lord
draw
and
here, Riho. I'm not joking, by the way.
NXT's shaking in their boots just hearing that name.
I mean, honestly, like, I wouldn't
talk
even
talk about
try.
A great theme.
Yeah, for sure. you get that bass thumping? Come on.
Yeah,
now.
Come on.
Also, by the way, like, and this might just be me, but quite frankly, she could have come out, Mercedes could have just come out at the beginning of the show and not said anything, you know? Like, I think that's how crazy over she was.
Oh,
she
yeah.
Was in that.
In Boston?
Arena. In Boston.
Boss with two S's and yeah. Money signs.
You know, like, those people were chanting CEO way after the music had died down, you know? I mean, Christ, you know, that outfit that she was wearing, insane. Looked like
money.
Looked like a, you know, Renaissance statue,
yeah.
Like, kind of thing. Yeah, so, like, she's got just such incredible aura that, you know, I mean, she could have gone out there and, you know, sang the Wiggles theme for like 10 minutes or whatever, and I would have been like, this is great, this is incredible, she's gonna be like, put the belt on her. Also, I think I love talking about the bookend with, you know, the main event, which, by the way,
fantastic match
of the year,
yes.
Oh boy, big match Riho is like nothing you've seen before. And big match Willow.
That's what I'm talking
dude.
About.
She came out. I'm pretty sure that's the same gear that
she wore when she
against Athena.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The red. Yeah.
I knew I recognized it somewhere. And just the dynamic between the two of them. You know, obviously, you know, you have Riho, the smaller person, Willow, the bigger person. But because of that physical difference there. All of, like, the big power moves that they hit on each
yeah.
other look so much more, like, I don't know how else to describe it other than, like, compact.
Yeah.
You know? Like, feels a little tighter, feels a little, like, meaner, and, like, just, you gotta watch it.
It's a great match.
Yeah.
And, of course, Willow wins. With the Dr. Bomb.
The babe with the power bomb.
you know me. I am a sucker for a Dr. Bomb. I
don't
see
blame
that
you.
Move.
It's a great move.
And speaking of going into next week, we also have Stat and Willow versus Julia and Sky in a street fight.
On Rampage.
Which is right after Dynamite.
Yeah, they're doing a live
3 hours.
A live Rampage. So I'm very excited for that, obviously. but you know, I think my standards though for like women's street fights in AEW is really high, because the past all of the times that they've done it, I've really really loved. And the one that really stands out in particular was last year, earlier in the year. They had Willow and Ruby Soho versus Anna Jay and Tay Mello.
Yeah, everyone's been like just so memorable, so fun. You know what I mean? Like, you think about the Tay Mello versus, was it Penelope and the Bunny?
Yes, yeah, which had no reason to,
to go as hard as it did.
As hard as that was. That was phenomenal. Obviously, you know, the Lights Out match with Britt and Thunder Rosa from 2020.
And I think the most recent one was also Staten Will. It is very funny. So
yeah,
it was
the Pulp Fiction.
It was. It's the winners keep advancing. So first it was Tay Mello beating Bunny and Penelope. Then it was Tay Mello versus Willow and Ruby, which they won. Mm-hmm. And then now it was Willow and Stat versus.
Yeah.
I think it was Diamante and Mercedes Martinez.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yep. Well, they came out in the Pulp Fiction. Yep.
There's an interesting little lineage there. Yeah. But no, I think that match is going to rock really, really hard. And I would not be surprised to see more Mercedes involvement in there as well.
Well, you got to get ready. You're going to see a Code Blue off the ramp or something like that. It's going to be something crazy.
Brother, don't test me. I'm going to be seated at 10 p.m. Just, you know,
10 p.m. sharp, bowl of popcorn.
Glued to my TV set.
I will say, looking back at this, really solid Dynamite. I mean, the only thing I could, like, go without was the Hook and Chris Jericho tag with them, which, you said, it wasn't bad. It was just, like,
it's a Jericho match.
Yeah, it's a Jericho match, you know?
I will say that was bad. Actually, I did not like that match.
But it's not WWE bad. It's AEW bad.
No, yeah, it's AEW bad.
There's different levels to this.
Yeah, and I think I've gone on this podcast before and said that I do think that Chris Jericho is still a good in-ring wrestler.
I agree. Saw the Olympus match live.
Yeah, yeah. He hits all of the moves as they are supposed to be hit. but that is kind of, you know, like the floor here, you know? So I would like, you know, a little something on top of that, which he has not been delivering. And I think, yeah, just like the Jericho Vortex that is, as it has come to be known, has become so apparent now, especially with Hook going into it. I mean,
yeah,
coming off that Samoa Joe match, you could have done anything in the world with this kid, and you stick him with Jericho. Like, you know, I'm sorry, we've seen how this works. Like, you know,
everyone complained about the Codyverse, all right? The Codyverse is bad, but Codyverse, at least he was mostly dealing with, like, QT and Anthony Ogogo, and it was memed to death.
Yeah.
There's nothing we get out of
the
Codyverse.
The Codyverse is bad, but, like, the bad parts of the Codyverse are incredibly funny.
Exactly.
None of the Jericho stuff is funny to me.
You will be entertained.
Yeah. So I'm not looking forward to that match with against Hook this coming week either. So
hopefully Hook steadily defeats Jericho. Jericho cries and leaves TV for like 6 months. Anyway, we're gonna go to a quick PSA break. We'll be back with brief messages. Welcome back, WBGL. We're getting a long time for Big Business, but this was like a pay per view quality show. We're gonna go ahead and get into that Ospreay promo, and boy. Oh, boy.
He can talk.
He can talk. Everyone's like, he can't talk. I am the feeling.
Yeah, yeah. That's.
My thing is, it should have been corny, but, like, it worked.
It was corny, but it also worked.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, just a straight up, like, you know, babyface on fire promo.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not so irony poisoned that I cannot acknowledge, you know, fiery, you know, spirit when it's being presented to me. I mean, it's interesting because, it take Meltzer with however many grains of salt you feel it deserves. I'm not going to get into that right now. But after this segment, he said that apparently one of the concerns and one of the reasons why WWE did not pursue signing Ospreay as heavily as they probably should have was because the assumption was that he could not talk. So, which, by the way, I don't even know how you would come to that conclusion just from watching his New Japan matches, his stuff in New Japan, because, like, all of his backstage and, like, press conference stuff was phenomenal, too.
Like,
you know?
Even if you just watch the past year, which I feel like if you're going to sign a guy, you watch the past year of his stuff. I mean, all that stuff from the start of the year with Wrestle Kingdom, the promo before, the promo after, everything leading up to that, is, like, he's been a great promo.
Yeah.
But another great promo. Finally, U.S. audiences are seeing this is the guy.
For sure. I love how much faith they're putting in him. Yeah, and this Bryan program, I like a lot. Yeah, the framing of I'm always a sucker for, you know, I looked up to you stories. You know, it's part of the reason why MJF Punk is, like, my favorite story of all time. you know, so him just outright saying, you know, like, I wanted to be Bryan Danielson, you know. That little wrinkle to it and Bryan's response as well is just, you know, otherworldly good. He has this kind of, like, you know, Zen master maniac deal down to a T at this point.
So good. Bryan Danielson makes me want to try meditation.
I don't know if he's probably the most effective ambassador for being against meditation, because it clearly does not work for him. but he's so good, and man, like, okay, so I don't know if you've seen the various takes about Ospreay. On the
I'm sure I have. Would you like to enlighten me?
Former Bird app. So there's obviously, you know, the score of you know, people who are devoted very much to one particular company and kind of disregard
of
the others.
Course.
And so they weren't particularly hyped for him to begin with, which is expected. And not the group of people that annoy me here. But the group that I've seen more and more recently are kind of these, like, you know, people who I think are very, like, smart, like, accounts, and, like, I agree with a lot about on wrestling. And, you know, to be fair, not everybody has to like all the same things, but it seems like they are going very hard on this guy.
I feel like I know at least one of the names.
You probably do. There's at least two. That I've seen a lot more recently.
Is the last name somewhere in Virginia?
No, actually, I don't think so.
Okay, I've seen him be very negative.
Yes, the name.
I've seen him, but, like, kind of expect that from him. He's weird about certain wrestlers.
He doesn't
like the indie style, which is fine, you know?
Right. But, like, I feel like there's also been, and I can understand just not liking it, you know. If something's not your thing, whatever.
Yeah.
That's great. But, like, you know, I would at least like the acknowledgement that, like, for what it is that he does do,
he is
very good at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's an effort to undermine that for some reason.
I would like you to tell me these names during the ad break.
I will.
We are not calling out anybody on
the I'm trying to keep us in the clear. But no, and, you know, like I said, I love and respect a lot of those people anyways. But just on this particular matter, I think they're crazy.
Also, all the people who are tribalist, I will say it because we're not naming any names. You guys are stupid.
Yeah, it is weird.
Because, like, look, man. If WWE does good stuff, I'm going to admit they do good stuff. Like Gunther, like I watched the Monday Night Raw show. It's just called the Gunther Show.
Right.
Like, in Tune Out, that man makes everything great. And, like, they have, you know, good stuff. Other than, you know, obviously not counting any of the whole backstage stuff, because that's, you know, tons of skeletons in the closet. Right. Well, then you good stuff. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
When TNA does good stuff, I admit that.
Right.
When Noah, when anybody, like, predominantly I like AEW, but I'm not going to just, you know.
Yeah. I don't watch very much WWE at all anymore, entirely because of the backstage stuff. But, you know, when I was and watching AEW at the same time, you know, obviously WWE creatively is on a hot streak like they've never been, you know, since like the 90s.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and you know, there's nothing wrong with saying that at all, even if you are the biggest AEW guy like me, you know, like hey man, rising tide raises all boats.
Exactly. Like when Mercedes signs the highest paid women's contract of all time, this is going to get a lot more women paid, and that is awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, Okada and Will and all these big money signings recently are just going to, you know, further encourage wrestlers to ask to be paid what they're worth. Which, quite frankly, even those big money contracts like an Okada, like a Mercedes, they should be getting more. You know, if you look at it, even in like, you know, how legit like mainstream sports contracts work,
way littler.
Exactly. So
for a lot more dates.
Yeah, I think anybody, you know, trying to diss them or anybody else, anybody in WWE, anybody in New Japan, anybody anywhere, for getting as much recognition and success as they are, I think anybody getting onto anybody for that is quite frankly just a silly and not serious person. So.
But speaking of Okada,
oh buddy,
we don't have a lot of time left, so we got the rest until we go to the ad break for this.
Yeah. I was so worried. And I have never been happier to have been wrong.
He's so good.
He's a natural. He's a natural at this. Turns out all you need to do is just put him in a cool-looking suit, have him mess around with his best friends, and just be absolutely insufferable together.
Yeah.
And it will be the most entertaining thing I've ever seen. The triple threat. Not triple threat. The trios match that was on Big Business was an excellent showcase, I thought. He had his in-ring debut on Collision, but that was, you know, a squash with and people who are obviously not up to his level. But
sorry, Serpent. What was his name?
John Cruz.
John Cruz.
Yeah. but seeing him actually get to work with Pac, with Penta, with Eddie, that's the meat and potatoes right there. And his character stuff is just, you can't take your eyes off him. He's so like camera ready. And these little like inflections that he's doing now, with whatever like time he's given on the mic, is just incredible. There's obviously that backstage segment that has been just playing in my mind 24/7. him telling poor little Alex Marvez, "Oh, wish Matthew a happy birthday, Alex." And he said, "Oh, well, yeah, happy birthday, Matthew." And he says, "No, sing it."
And they're all just like gripping him like around the shoulder, forcing him.
They're just frat bros.
Right,
that's what they are, and it's so great. I'm so happy for him. And you know, his in ring stuff has not gone down at all. He's definitely not coasting. Yep. But he's having a good time. So.
And the best part is now, because he signed all these luchadors that were previously affiliated with AAA, like Penta, we get to watch all these matches for the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Not counting half of the AEW roster, I didn't even touch them. Pac got the original AEW camera footage back with the tunnel.
I know.
Presentation.
That's the benefit of the tunnels.
It is the benefit of the tunnels. Also, I do like Okada not coming out of the tunnel in the middle. And they perfected the coin flip into his entrance.
It wasn't quite perfect. But
it was perfect on Dynamite. It was not perfect on Collision.
Yeah. They are doing everything in their power to show you, you got to watch this guy.
Real quick, we got 1 minute before we go to PSA. We have Shayna Baszler in Bloodsport versus Masha Slamovich. So WWE versus TNA in a GCW ring.
Incredible.
Apparently, there's going to be more WWE names in Bloodsport, apparently.
That's what I've heard, too, yeah. And an AEW, at least one AEW name too, with Johnny Bloodsport. Yep. I think is confirmed for that.
I'm telling you, we're gonna get Mike Bailey versus Omos.
Yeah, yeah, that's the end goal here. but no, that's great. You know, any opportunity for interpromotional stuff, I'm
Shayna's sure, gonna you know. Work, brother. So it's gonna be awesome. Oh, Shayna can work.
She's ready made for that style.
Yeah,
that's such a good pick.
I think Masha was in the women's tournament, so I don't know if they're gonna like substitute her out, because originally it was her, Marina. I don't remember the other two women in this tournament. Or Lady Frost was one of them, and I don't remember what the other one was. But there was a four women like mini tournament during the night. They're going to have two matches, and that's why I said Marina couldn't do it.
Oh, okay.
And you were saying Ronda, but I was like, I don't think they're going to run that back, brother.
I don't know.
I could see it. We're also getting a Punjabi prison match for the GCW Tag Titles 4-Way at the dead WrestleMania weekend.
I love it.
Did you see my text that I sent you with that?
Probably.
It was Kevin Koo. He really wanted to wrestle match, and he got his wish. And
Forever and who?
I don't remember the other teams. Oh, that's fine. I know they're doing Nick Gage and somebody else is wrestling with him. Some crazy Nick Gage team. We'll have to look this up during the ad break. And finally, in sad news, Triple A is... The vacant Mega Campeón belt is going to be between Nick Nemeth, good, and Alberto Del Patron, bad. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to go to a quick PSA break. We'll be back. We're going to talk Bryan Danielson.
Get better, Vikingo.
Get better, Vikingo. Yellow, welcome back to WWE Channel. We go 91.1 FM. Big Pop. And I'm showing Cooper this right now. The shirt with Seth Rollins that says Big Pop on it. Let's run through WWE real quick. Rock had a 40-minute promo where he had the old theme come back.
The Rock says.
And then he also did a song.
At the Rock concert.
He did the Rock concert. Pretty cool. I haven't watched it yet. I've seen clips. What else happened? U.S. title match. They're doing Kevin and versus Logan versus Randy. They're having the 6-way for the tag titles, which I'm sure the Awesome Truth will be in.
DIY
is in.
The awesome
Sammy champions. Won the match last week, so Sammy versus Gunther at Mania, which is
interesting. Oh, yeah. I heard about that. People are mad that it's not Gable, which is understandable. It'll be a good match, and it is in no way Sammy's fault for that.
So. No. I used to think it was literally injuries that happened for Punk that really restructured the whole card.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Cody said some bad words.
That's true. Cody said bad words.
Anything happened on The Rock? It's hard for anything to happen on SmackDown when The Rock does a 40-minute promo segment. It wasn't 40. It was like 30. I don't know. But when he takes up like a fourth of the show. But AEW. Collision.
The best wrestling show that I saw this week.
Really?
I liked it even more than Big Business.
I mean, go ahead. Sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, I liked it. I liked it more than Big Business. There's one obvious match of the year. Two potential matches of the year. Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking about it. And I'll see if you can...
I saw some absolute in like match quality. Like, I do want to go back and watch this Collision, because I mean, I'm just running off this card. This is a PWG card, brother. Danielson versus Katsuyori Shibata. Oh my god. You have Julia Hart versus Trish Adora. Oh my goodness. Daniel Garcia versus Lee Moriarty, which is a match for me. Pac versus Aaron Solo.
It's fine.
It was supposed to be Commander, but Commander got injured. It's okay. Claudio versus Lance Archer. Whoa.
And I forgot about that match.
Yeah.
Until you just mentioned it.
Kyle O'Reilly versus Brian Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. The tag tournament, which was the Infantry versus House of Black.
Yep.
Whoa. And, of course, we ended off with the Copeland Edge segment.
Introducing
Copeland, I forget the name. you Spike.
Yes, introducing Spike, his trusty companion now.
Given to him by Mick Foley
in the battle against. I thought it was given to him by Abyss.
he mentioned both of them.
Yeah, it looks very similar. It looks more similar to me to
Stairway to Janus.
It's Janus, yeah. But man, some people think that wrestling's hard, right?
It's not.
It's not. It's not. It turns out all you have to do is just pick some names out of a hat with this particular roster, and I'll have the best time I've ever had watching TV.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, okay, Danielson Shibata. Let's get the elephant out of the way. Ever since Shibata came back from injury, and more specifically, ever since he's been doing stuff with AEW, this has always been at the forefront of people's minds, for very obvious reason. Both students of Antonio Inoki, so you get that connection between the two of them. Both suffered, you know, tons of injuries throughout their career.
Yep.
Both made miraculous comebacks. Both are some of the most incredibly gifted technical wrestlers of their generation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I enjoyed the Shibata matches in AEW up to this as well. His Eddie match from Wrestle Dream in particular was, I feel like, the first time we saw the true Shibata post injury. His run as pure champion in ROH and his stuff with Orange, even, you know, throwing a little bit of comedy into it. But this was always what we wanted. And
boy howdy.
Over delivered. just mean. You know?
Yeah.
I like when wrestling's mean. I like when I feel like hatred, but also like respect at the same time. It's an interesting emotion.
Yep.
And they just captured it perfectly. Go out of your way to watch this if you watch anything from this week. So, across promotions.
Potential match of the year, I'm going to guess, Brian Keith versus Kyle O'Reilly.
You are right. Kyle still got it. He still got it, son.
And then is it House of Black and Infantry? Or is it Trish and Julia?
Trish and Julia.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. I was like, one of the ones with the infantry in it, it's got to be.
Yeah. I love the infantry, by the way.
Awesome.
I've been seeing the handful bit of Ring of Honor that I've watched.
Yeah, they've been great.
They're such a good act. But I've been a fan of Trish Adora even for longer.
Yes.
Her, you know, whole presentation just looks like $1 million bucks. And, one of these days she's going to win a match. And that will be fantastic. But I like the capacity that they're using her in now. Just keep her on TV, keep her as a familiar face.
Who did she lose to in the women's tournament, the women's TV?
I don't know because I haven't been watching it all that much.
But
I will say that seeing her work with Julia, I thought this was a great pairing of opponents. She twisted Julia into knots.
Yes.
In this. It was crazy. I did not know. I love Trish Adora. This was not a skill set of hers that I knew that she had, was this submission specialty.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy to see. There's some really unique like ways that she gets her into holds. So that was fantastic. Man, that Kyle O'Reilly match, man.
So I
got emotional watching it, quite frankly.
This is like the best he's ever looked, too.
He looks great, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Just like, you know, shaggy, and if he feels like he's been through it because he has. and Brian Keith, man, just somebody who over delivers when he's asked to.
Mm-hmm.
What a I think Brian Keith is going to be one of the best like value signings for AEW this year.
Oh, for sure.
I think he is going to, in the long term, make everybody that he's in with look good. They work so well. It felt like I've not seen much DPW stuff, but if this is what I imagine that's like.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was fantastic and such an emotional return, too. So I loved it.
And we got a little tease of Shibata at the end there. But we have ran out of time. Thank you for listening to WWEG on Weagle 91.1 FM. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow me at @ByLoganHurston. You can follow Noah at @Noah_Fizzle64. You can follow Cooper, Jack as Average Darth. Cooper, you don't have a Twitter. Cooper, you have any last words?
The Gimmick Killer says... The Gimmick Killer. It doesn't work the same. It doesn't have the same
It
rate.
Does to me. It's real to me. If you want to listen to this podcast after the fact, you miss any part of the show, you can follow us on any of your podcast players of choice. This episode should be up tomorrow. We will see you next week at 9 p.m. sharp. Goodbye and good night. Bang.